Welcome to Epic Life.
Oh. A podcast about what totally rocks.
Who's out to lunch?
And stuff that's happening to us.
And stuff that's happened at us.
Hi. And today, our guest is so funny.
Funny.
Oh my God.
Canadian artist.
Creative and
good
really
cook.
Stylish. Amazing cook and mixologist.
Mixologist.
And
wonderful.
Welcome to the podcast, Toller. It's such
Toller
a pleasure to have
Wolf,
you.
Welcome.
Hello.
Thanks
hey,
for being here.
Thank you for having
you
me.
You woke up a half an hour ago.
Me too. Maybe
15. Less than 20 minutes ago.
And you look amazing.
And that's what some. Should we provide that context? We're neighbors.
We're neighbors.
And you kind of pulled a look together profoundly.
Yep. Yeah, your look is so tight for you.
It's the hat
pulls it together.
I guess
tucking
so.
In your shirt.
I don't know. I think it's like more than that. It's like color schemes and.
Even the socks go
awesome.
Really well with everything. This is
yeah.
soothing to
that's
be
a man
watching
who knows
your outfit.
Who he is.
You send what out was a photograph the... to all the listeners.
Yeah, individually.
Look good,
yeah.
Bitch.
Hard copy.
A physical copy.
Yeah, no prob. That's so cool. Thanks for being here. Good morning.
Good morning.
What was the drink that you made on Thanksgiving? Sorry, I was trying to remember the name of it last night.
On
but
Thanksgiving?
Whole, no, like I don't think it was Thanksgiving. I think
nah,
it was...
your housewarming.
It was like a painkiller milk punch.
What did you call it?
That's it. Oh.
You called it something like piss?
Oh, yeah. It looks like piss. It looks like piss.
It was amazing.
But it's good.
Yeah, tell us what...
Putting milk and stuff
what
is the best
in
thing
it,
ever.
It sounds awful
oh,
when
it's
you say
like a
it.
It's like a classic tiki drink. It's like pineapple, coconut, rum. But then you like pour in milk, like cow's milk, and it...
Warms it up.
Alcohol causes the milk to curdle, and then the curd like clings to all the like impurities or whatever. And then you strain it out, and the cocktail comes out like clear, like totally like clear yellow.
Whoa.
Interesting.
And it's like,
it's like the most delicious thing I've ever had in my
life.
Yeah,
it like changes the mouthfeel of it. Ugh, I'm saying mouthfeel.
It's okay.
You can't help it.
They haven't found a better way to describe
yeah,
it yet.
It's just one of those terms that.
Oral texture. Oral texture.
And there's no way not to sound like a goober.
Yeah, there's no way not to sound like a goober.
Well, that's okay. That's what your life is like.
The tongue touch.
that's what my life is like.
No, I meant like because you're such a naturally culinary sort of dude, there mouthfeel's gonna come up.
Yeah.
Or oral textures. I just tried to pitch to you guys, but nobody was listening.
Oh, sorry. Sarah, that's an awesome idea. Let's put it in the dictionary or a book somewhere. I'm going to write a mixology book for you to put it in.
Yeah. So, okay. Can you maybe run us through? Because we had such a great time at your housewarming party. But I love about it is that you and Claire are such natural hosts that you do such a great job with the food and drinks and stuff like that.
Oh,
it really
and
felt like relaxed. Like you guys weren't stressed about us being there.
There was so much stuff.
And
out.
So no one was like, oh, we have to help. Like it was just like a really casual,
you were
gorgeous
just, you
vibes.
Could be leading a cig brigade up to the roof.
Oh yeah.
A cigarette
the
brigade.
Roof is great. I love going on the roof.
But I just remember like there was in and out of you and like a barrage of other men just going out for your smokes.
We needed a break from the women at the party.
I get it.
Yeah.
Girls are
that.
Crazy.
That's cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like hosting and you know, we like cooking and I like taking any opportunity to like make a big meal.
It's so great.
It's just very fun.
It's a skill set.
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't know, like, I don't really, like, think about it or, like, how I got, like, I think, honestly, I think working at restaurants helps because you're, like.
Welcome. Oh, what can I get you? Do
yeah,
you mean
exactly. And sometimes I feel myself, like, doing that.
Really?
Like, is everyone okay? And I'm like, oh, God, it's, like, in my DNA.
But it's. I think it's nice to check in.
Yeah, but sometimes I'm, like, using my server voice on my friend.
If I had a nickel, every time I go to, like, it's been, like, one time in a bodega, one time in an Uber, where I've gotten in or in front of the bodega guy and just been like, what can I get started for you? And they're like, what? And I'm just like, oh, my God.
Get started for
it's
you.
It's just
you.
At the
it's
tip of my tongue.
Brain. Yeah.
It's, like, the
like,
first thing.
Or, like, saying... You worked in restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
I like saying corner. Like
yeah,
I'll say
and behind,
corner.
Behind.
I'll say corner when I'm like on the street.
It's helpful.
Yeah.
Also,
it is.
It's also really weird the lingo with certain things. Like when somebody says, "I got you." In real life, I'm like, oh, they work in a weird service job or like a customer service job.
Yeah.
Because that's what they say on the like on bank phone calls. They're like, just bear with me, I got you, or like and stuff
oh, yeah.
like that.
Stay
and I'm
with
like,
me.
They've made like corporate talk more casual, but in this like really like test tube way.
Yeah.
Which I find interesting. So when somebody says, when somebody says that, I'm like,
I do think they should incorporate some. I think you should be able to say corner and behind just when
it's
you're
so
around.
Helpful. Or on the subway, like when you're coming around really fast and someone's swinging forward and you're like, well, obviously you should have gone wide because you're on the right side or whatever. Like it's helpful. And behind, like when I'm in a store,
I do say behind. I don't say excuse me anymore. I just go on behind you.
I guess I should be saying excuse me. Bit,
you're always creeping up behind people, it sounds like. Is this the way you move through the world? You're just always sort of lurking and lingering behind people?
Yeah. I have to do that at the Park Slope Co-op because those people do not know how to walk. Do you go there?
Yeah. Oh, it's deranged. God. Do you ever work at... you're a member.
No, she XO... She left.
You left.
What was it called when you left like a sorority in high school?
Oh, I did leave the co-op. I just immediately joined and pretty much immediately left. I had to lie to them and say that I moved back.
It's a lot of work.
Oh, really?
I mean, like, it's funny. You only have to do 3 hours every 6 weeks, and I really wasn't up for it.
It does seem it's like the worst thing in the world.
Well, also, I wasn't naturally shopping there. Like, I think if it was literally around the block, I would, but I just wasn't naturally doing it.
The distance does blow.
Yeah, it's disrespectful.
It's not so too far, but it's just far enough that I wasn't incorporating it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you escaped a cult.
It was. I had to like lie. And then they sent my joining check was $100. And then they're like, so they needed the new address. So then they sent it to my parents' house. So my parents.
Wow, you really like.
And then my parents. My dad was like, you got mail from the Park Slope Food Co-op. I'm like, oh yeah, and I'm like, thanks. I had to lie and say that I moved back to Canada, and then he's just, like, and then he said the same thing. He was just like, it's like you got out of a cult.
I didn't know that you did, but that's so funny.
It's on my desk right now. I still have to deposit it back.
Oh my god, it's so much drama.
I know it's funny, but like they couldn't argue with it. I just said like, you know, you click moving, and then I put my parents' address, and then I was out, baby. But it was good. Awesome. I didn't want to drag Rachel down anymore. It was like such a thing.
I'm sorry, Sarah.
No, it's okay. it was more natural for you. I feel like it's more, I think it
I just
works
have more
with
time.
Your life.
You're still a member, right?
Yeah, I just love walking over there and dealing with the drama of old people. They are mean.
They're mean.
I've never had a good experience in there.
Really? You used to like it at the beginning, but now you're in and you
hate
it.
Well, I love that it's also cheap and like I do find it hilarious. Like,
yeah.
First shopping
characters.
Experiences, it's like being home in Long Island where like everyone knows each other, everyone is being so nasty in like passive aggressive ways.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And it's like these people who have been members for like 45
years.
Yeah,
and they're like
so they
yelling
like
at
think
you.
It's like their house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they get so mad when
you
don't
understand.
Have you
ever worked a shift with someone where you're like an older person where you're like, have you ever had a job before? Like they don't. I was working and this guy like didn't know how to like break down a cardboard box. And I was like, what have you been doing?
I think old people, it's like they got a job when they were like 20. They've been there the whole time and they never had to learn a different skill.
That's
so it was
so
basically
true.
Like they send out an they learn how to do email and that was it. And then it's like, I've never touched anything that seems challenging. I've never touched a paper cutter. Right. Like it's just a different lifestyle. And they just can't understand like
a paper cutter.
I can't
Is that
imagine
scissors?
Or like
the
X-Acto
big one.
Knife.
Oh, yeah.
It drives me crazy. Old people are so weird. But then also I'm like, young people are weird too.
Everybody's just a little weird.
The middle people are not
We're geniuses.
Weird. Yeah,
people in the middle are so smart and they're cool. What's your favorite thing to get from there?
What's your favorite food?
What's my favorite food?
I'm sorry. And what's your favorite thing to get from there?
And what's my favorite thing to get at the Park Slope Food Co-op? This is hard. They have really good, their produce is all really good. Mm-hmm. They have really good oyster mushrooms. I'm on an oyster mushroom kick.
Oh, dope. How do you like to make those these days?
Just like roast them really hard until they're crispy.
Nice. That sounds great.
Okay. This isn't my favorite food, but Claire and I are not eating meat for the month.
She mentioned that. She says, unless she's at a restaurant. That's what she said.
Yeah, that's her rule. I'm not doing that. I'm staying pure.
How are you feeling?
Good.
It is the best thing ever.
It does make a difference. It does make a difference. But the Impossible Chicken Nuggets are fire.
Oh my God, you're in the right company.
So
Rachel is a McNug girl.
I love alternative meat.
I ate a bag of those in like 2 days. I fucking love those things. That's my favorite food.
Good.
That's currently my favorite food.
Oh my
gosh.
Or the hot Italian sausage.
It is so good. I literally like made during the pandemic, I like every day was trying to make my dad become vegan because I was like, I see how much he eats, like 12 sausages every day. He's like 6'5" and I'm like, you're going to die because old tall people die all the time. It's like all they do. And so I was like,
it's funny. Dude. I'm so opposite to everybody because everybody's like trying to get rid of meat in their diets. Like I'm trying to incorporate. I'm trying to incorporate meat. I haven't eaten meat in like a million years. And then now it's like I went to one acupuncturist who told me, she's like, you must eat red meat once a week. And it's like the hardest thing I've ever done.
It's not true. You don't have to do that.
You don't.
What do you mean?
Well,
you don't need it.
You can. You should. I like it. I think that eating meat.
Hold on. Everybody has a fully different opinion.
Well,
wait, I don't know what Rachel's saying.
Here's what I think. I think vegans will tell you, and they can be right, that you don't ever have to eat meat. But they're also like the ones who I'm listening to are like the richest people in the world who have like 80 doctors like constantly like giving them B12 infusions and like they can double check stuff. I think the layman, we like have to just enjoy. Also, enjoying
eating helps if you kind of know what you need.
And enjoying life is like the most important part of life. Once you start caring,
it's not that I think meat rocks. I just never really was into it. I've been like vegetarian forever, and I was like vegan for a long time too. But the thing is she said that, and I do take B12 and everything for iron, which is helpful. But she said something like, she said that like my diet, she's like looked at my tongue and then, you know how they do that in Chinese medicine? She's like, your digestion's really bad. And she goes, your reproductive organs are going to, are going to be rapidly aging if you don't eat red meat once a week. And that's literally what got me eating red meat. Cause I was like, my reproductive organs, I don't even want to reproduce. I have no desire, but I'm like kind of vain where I want to look my best. So I want my insides to look good too.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
I think it's like,
I'm like, I don't want those girlies inside to rapidly age. I want them to be young. Scared. I want them to say like your inside is like, I don't, and also I feel like if your insides are rapidly aging, then that will go to your outsides. And I just want to be strong and svelte as long as I can be.
You are so strong.
But I don't know. But then, but then it's funny because I messaged Claire, I messaged Faria, Hallie, all my girlies who love to cook. And I go, I got to eat meat. What should I do? And like, everybody's been preparing me red meat, which is really funny.
This is so fun. Just the only person in Brooklyn probably who's like, I gotta get more in there. I'm eating more.
That's the
beef.
Thing is, everybody's like, how are you feeling when taking meat out of your diet? You're like, I feel great. I'm like, the hardest thing I ever did was try to eat a piece of meat. It's like the hardest thing ever. I even bought fish once and I like got confused and didn't know what to do with it.
Does it like gross you out or you just like don't know how to cook it or what?
I think it's just not in my wheelhouse. I feel much more honestly comfortable eating like a hippie. I like eating like different like salads Roots. And bowls, like you know, the different grain bowls with salads and crunchy and hot and cold and all the different textures. Like, I don't know. I just like eating like a weird. I'm. It seems on paper that I would be great at the Park Slope Food Co-op. Honestly, even with how I like to eat, get some sprouts in there. Let's have a tahini drizzle. You know what I mean?
You gotta have a miso tahini gochujang.
That sounds amazing.
That sounds amazing, dude.
Dude, you should make a cookbook.
Yeah, you're just good. List that. Just a list.
Just that.
Things up with that. You could use. Yeah.
I texted my friend the other day who's like a really good cook, and I was like, "How do you come up with what to eat?" She's like, "I just like look at a menu for my favorite restaurant and just try and." Created. I was
that's
like,
great.
Duh, that's an amazing idea.
I'll do that sometimes. Dude, I'm like, what's a place I like? And then when I'm feeling uninspired, and
just like, go down the list. Especially like luxury restaurants or whatever. You can just take out the like weird stuff and be like, I can put miso and brown butter on like a piece of chicken.
Miso brown butter is huge right now.
People are really
everybody's it. Doing miso.
That makes brown sense. Butter. I can I feel you on that.
Wait, are you vegetarian though, or do you just like?
I used to be vegan. Now I eat everything, whatever. But I like don't cook meat here.
She's gluten free and pretty much dairy free for the most part, right?
Oh, and wow. I have never cooked a piece of meat in my life except for chicken nuggets, which I would not say.
Wait, she does chicken ones.
Chicken nuggets,
real ones or fake?
Real ones and fake ones.
She does chicken.
I love the dang fake ones.
In the she does that in the air fryer. That's what the air fryer is for.
I'm getting rid of it. Do you want an air fryer?
Ask Claire. She might actually.
She's so you're so funny.
Well, you can just take it home with you, and if she doesn't want it, leave it outside.
We have nowhere to put it.
Oh,
it's just an oven. It's just a little oven, right?
Yeah, but people be loving it.
Well, what's totally awesome for you?
Yeah,
what's totally awesome.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I did think about this because Claire told me about you guys.
What do we expect? What do you expect when expecting?
Here's what I think is totally awesome and something that I was really missing while I was home over Christmas. The Humble Bidet.
Oh! I feel like that when I get home, when I go home too, I'm like, Mom and Dad, y'all don't have bidets? Like, it's what about your bum bum?
It's insane. It's literally crazy. I told my mom, I was like, it's $100 for luxury for the rest of your life. Are you fucking stupid? Not even luxury,
it's just like refreshing and cleanliness.
It changes your whole experience. The experience without the bidet is like grueling and horrible, and I'm like hot and like...
Totally. And humiliating.
And human. Like, and to deeply, look at, sorry
to say, but to keep looking, it's just like, oh my God.
And here's the thing. Every time I go home to my parents' house, within an hour, I clog the toilet. every single visit. And they keep, and I use the upstairs bathroom, and they keep the plunger in the basement for some reason. God. So I have to like go do this like humiliating,
big song and dance,
humiliating trek down to the basement. To I can't even like do this discreetly and go get the plunger and bring it up.
I guess I take like apartment living for granted. Like you have to keep the plunger in the bathroom here, but it's like, yeah. Oh, I guess that's right.
You doing that every time is so funny.
It's like without fail, I clog the toilet.
That oh my sucks. God. Well, you know, everybody's got something.
Because I'm used yours. To the bidet.
Yeah.
And now I'm using all this toilet paper.
It's really barbaric. Oh,
it's from all the toilet paper.
It's from all the toilet paper.
Whenever yeah, I'm at work, I'm like.
A series of flushes, probably. It's got to be a process.
And I never do enough flushes. I'm always one shy.
Yeah, that's so funny.
I want to like tell my boss to install one just because I do spend so much. I mean, like when you I go, like no, it's just like if you care about efficiency at work, like just get, and it's a cafe. If you gave us a bidet, like there would never be a line for the bathroom. Anyway, I think it's just like the best invention in the world.
It's just like so weird.
The
it's
Japanese like, are amazing. Sorry,
I think it's like I think it's definitely like says something larger about American culture that everyone is so like. So averse to having one.
I just or think it's like,
why hasn't it been adopted everywhere?
I think it's just honestly like it's a kind of like a popularity thing. Like I think it's like with Tushy and all that kind of stuff. It was very like popular for people who listen to podcasts in our demographic to get one.
Maybe that's why it's been ingrained in us from listening to Serial or whatever.
Sorry,
it's been ingrained in us from listening to Serial.
Yeah, that's it. You said it. That's exactly right. And it's sort of like how a lot of people in our parents' generation don't understand therapy, but we're all like very pro therapy. Yes. It's like it's the exact same with the bidets.
It's like life can be easier. You don't have to suffer.
Just okay. Go to therapy and get a bidet.
Well, I also think that like boomer men like do think it's gay.
Yeah.
Because I like told my I was like, I'll get a bidet. And my dad's like, I'll never use it. I'll never use it. and then
they just don't like to think about their buttholes.
Yeah, that's important. It. That's it. And I think that's like an American. It's an American
it's a real
thing.
Repression thing too, because it's like your butthole is a part of your body. Yeah. And so like it's a part which is you. You are your butthole. How do you want to treat it?
Yeah, that's
how
so
about
true.
With a little bit of class?
I'm saying.
This is a really great ad. This is great copy.
Yeah. How about I want to talk about your art.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So can you tell us a bit? Because I, whenever you,
it's amazing.
It's amazing.
Oh my god.
You're so truly talented, and
sorry, I forgot that that's what that was. Oh my god, it's spooky.
I want you to share a bit about what you kind of are into creating in the last maybe year, like what you've been up to. It has your style sort of like, yeah, what are you kind of trending towards personally?
So should I talk about just like in general?
Yeah, in general, and then we can get specific.
Oh, okay. Well, I do like, you know, all my stuff is like, I draw like little creatures and a lot of like, I would say it's like ecologically inspired stuff, like a lot of plants and bugs and stuff. I always loved like little characters, like little creatures and stuff. So
it's so cute and cool.
And definitely like I grew up in a really rural area, and like a lot of my time was spent like running around in the woods and stuff, and like and like very like, you know, like rich interior life, like hanging out and like making shit up. So mm-hmm. I think that's a big like source of it. But yeah, so I actually one of my New Year's resolutions, I want to do a drawing a week, because I just like let it fall by the wayside really bad. Yeah. And like I haven't really been making stuff unless someone like commissions me to. And then it's like, well, I'm making someone else's thing, you know?
Totally. Oh, that makes sense. That's a good sort of new plan of attack. Yeah. That way you can keep kind of the channel open.
And yeah, totally.
Going with your own stuff.
But
I've had two commissions recently where that were really open-ended, where people asked me to do stuff for their two of my friends who were having kids asked me to do stuff for their kids' nurseries.
That's amazing.
Which was really exciting.
I think your stuff is so imaginative. They're probably like, we want our kids to not have any limits.
Yeah.
Let's get taller in here.
Well, I think it's really cool that a kid's going to like, because like, think of, because like, I always think about like the art that like sticks into your brain when, yes, when you're like a kid and it's, and it like takes on this like kind of like mythic world proportion. Yeah. 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 That's and true. I think this it's really cool that at some kid's going to be looking at my, like, little,
it's gonna be a part of the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it'll shape how they see the world. Like, I look at the art that I looked at as a little kid. Like, I still, my parents still have it. And I'm like, this like shaped how I see stuff.
Yeah,
in the colors and like all that kind of stuff. Wow.
Did you guys have any children's books that like really like
more than? Oh my god, we still have all of them. My mom like tried to get rid of them, and my sister and I were like, if you get rid of these,
yeah, we had,
I
know they're like so scary. Robert Munsch.
Yes, Richard Scary is the king.
Richard Scary is great.
And I loved this,
cool name, oh too. Wait,
who did like Babushka Baba Yaga?
Oh,
and like all those like really beautiful hands and
wait, like Stella Nona, or is that something?
Striganona.
Striganona.
Striganona was big in our house.
Yeah, who is that Striganona artist?
Striganona was Patricia Pilacco. Really long spaghetti. He was like a witch.
Patricia
Pilacco.
I think Patricia Pilacco. Am I making that up?
I don't know. I don't remember.
There were so many like
Babar.
Yeah, yeah, that shit rocks.
Well, I really like, there was this one book that I really liked when I was a kid and I couldn't find it. I remember we got it from the library and I never could find it again, but it was about a little girl taking this bath and then she goes under the water and it's a whole other adventure world down there. And I remember just like looking for it because I just like, it was so exciting and it felt like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, but I just remember the style of artwork too, and I think I dreamt about it a bunch too. That's why, yeah, I was looking for it. But yeah, I think that is so exciting that you're gonna be having some artwork around these like kind of like wide open like little minds.
Molding them.
Totally.
I do think that stuff's so important. And my mom is an artist and
really
like, kind what of a kind? Weirdo. She does like really crazy like mixed media assemblages, and she's like extremely prolific. Like basically all she does all day is just like make art. I find it really inspiring.
That's wonderful.
I don't have the same level of ambition, but I feel like you can like cultivate that a
absolutely
little bit. It's literally just like get in the routine, because when I'm making stuff,
it's just a habit.
When I'm making stuff, I feel good and I feel excited, but then it's like overcoming the barrier to actually starting it is always the hardest thing.
Also, I feel like I'm such a like freak about stuff. I'm like, if I make something, it has to be amazing. But it's right. Like, if I'm making stuff all the time, I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
Exactly. It becomes less precious.
Yeah, that's the exact word. It's sort of like, you shouldn't be precious with your creativity.
And that's so true. And
somebody told me the other day, it should be like a fountain.
Yeah, totally.
My
just
mom,
let it flow.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, that's something that I was thinking about a lot with comedy too. Because I just started, I basically like didn't do comedy for 3 years, like when COVID, I like stopped when COVID started, and then I was just like, all right, I'm done.
I mean, that's
I'm
valid.
Quitting.
It was sort of a weird scenario. For
yeah. People. And I had like a bunch of personal stuff going on in my life where I was like, I just like can't do this like mental health wise.
Sorry.
But I'm starting to do it again. And when I was initially doing it, it's like, you know, I do like one show every 6 months or something.
And then you're so good. You're so
thank
funny.
Thank you. And then you get like so precious about it when you're doing it that little. You're like, this has to be perfect. I would get so nervous.
100%.
It's like I'm trying to do like 3 or 4 open mics a week, and I'm just like so much more relaxed. I'm like trying whatever.
I mean, it's like, it's momentum. That's exactly it is. It's just like you get the wheels turning, and then you can just sort of coast a little bit more and enjoy yourself and enjoy throwing stuff out there. I believe it's all about doing as much as possible.
Totally.
If I ever have too much of a break between shows, I'm quite irritated during the day leading up to the show, all that kind of stuff. So I feel you on that. I think that's real. So I'm happy that you're kind of are back in the water.
Yeah, it's and I'm warm. Having a lot of fun, and I'm just trying to like ignore all the like the horrible shit about it.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Well, it, like, it I don't do you make it.
I don't really post, and I'm just like, I'm not going to.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Once you find peace with what you will and won't do, it's like that's nice.
It's so
Ooh, I
important.
Love that rage.
Yeah,
it's so important. Because you can make yourself just absolutely miserable, like doing what you think you're supposed to do.
Absolutely.
And it's like, there's a million routes. You don't, like, sure, like, posting is a quick way to, like, find success and stuff.
No, but it's not like, necessarily. I see a lot, I see plenty of people who post every single day and they get barely any hits. And I'm like, I don't think that this method is working for
That's very true also.
You know what I mean?
And then they're like going insane. Like, why, what's the algorithm want?
Yeah.
Sorry, what'd you say?
I'm sorry.
No.
But it's like you're, anyway, it doesn't matter. I burp so nasty. I'm really sorry to everyone.
What?
It's crazy when
Rachel
a burp. It's crazy
so
when
hard.
A burp is.
I've got
nasty.
Problems.
She's so funny human to me.
Whatever.
She's a funny human.
Sorry.
To me. A psychic told me I was from a different planet, so now I can say something.
That's so nice.
Wait, what? Really?
Yes. Two different psychics have told me that I'm not from this world. So now
you're from Toronto.
If it's what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Toronto.
Yeah. Just like,
they're just
like,
we don't
I'm getting
get
a
you.
Different reading from your body. And
yeah.
You're just
no,
from a
different.
You're just from a different. Country.
I know exactly. Yeah, it honestly feels like you're maybe from like an hour and a half flight north of here, which is a different fucking planet.
Dude, my mom's on that shit. She thinks she's an alien.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's what they always say to me too, that I'm an alien. I don't believe it, but I just think it's funny that it's come up a couple times. And I'm like, listen.
It's a really crazy thing to say to someone.
Yeah.
To really believe.
To be like, you aren't a human.
Yeah, you're not a human. You're from a different
Something's
galaxy.
Different about you.
And I'm like, okay, like, you want to see my birth certificate? Or like how I look exactly like my family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I cut.
Do you remember like a couple of months ago when like all anyone was when I was in
Indigo Travel.
When I was away for the summer, there was like a bunch of TikToks about how there were aliens and like the Supreme Court was talking about it and stuff, and like I felt insane for like 2 days because I was like, why isn't it like all that I'm talking about? But then it was like it felt like the news never actually really covered it or like I can't really tell.
Oh, because
like
the Navy released those like all those videos of like, isn't that what it was?
And I couldn't tell because sometimes the Navy, it's like sometimes things leak and they're not supposed to because they're too real. Sometimes they leak because they're distracting us from something else evil that they're doing.
Yeah.
Sometimes like they are so like they'll make music that is just to manipulate the people. Like there's yeah. so like Whoa. Pop songs.
Well, that's why I think you have to be like really skeptical and be like, anything they tell you is like very calculated.
Yeah.
Unless it is.
They wouldn't tell me unless it was.
Unless there is like some actual whistleblower situation. And then you like know that it's wrong because they like go after that person with every like legal instrument they
yeah,
have.
Yeah, they would shut it down.
So that's why I think like
Julian Assange.
So that's why I think like the UFO stuff, I'm like,
yeah, it doesn't
this
feel
isn't,
real. If they let yeah. that out, they're like,
why would
sure,
you,
have that.
Yeah, if this was real, why would you show us this?
I used to have an English teacher who was who worked in the Pentagon and then on a submarine, and I was like, do you know stuff that's
teaching
scared?
English?
Yeah, he just like he wanted a peaceful
teaching
life.
Teaching English at the Pentagon.
He just wanted to like have a life. I think he also was kind of liberal, and so I think being in the military was kind of challenging because like generally they're
pretty that's crazy.
Right wing. He was so he was like, I know things that scare me. He was really strange.
Really? Like he's seen stuff.
Yeah, or he just like knows some of the classified stuff. Also apparently there's like classified and then there's like extra super classified and then there's like three people know about it and they like will be shot to death immediately if they share it.
Yeah, it makes sense if the world is fucked up.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. I mean, I hope
What's
they don't tell me
do?
Anything.
My
dad, also
my dad is a gardener, or he wouldn't like me saying that. He's a horticulturist.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, your family sounds amazing.
They're
okay. They sound amazing. Totally.
I mean, like,
do you have siblings?
It's cool.
I have an older sister.
Awesome. What's her name?
Emily.
Yeah.
She's an amazing, amazing artist. Like interdisciplinary. Like really can just like pick stuff up and is good at it. Is like us like sewing and quilting and ceramics and like does really cool paper mache stuff.
Wow.
Like just like really like super crafty and like really good taste.
Hey, also. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's a great older sibling to have.
Yeah.
Somebody that you can really look up to.
She's been sewing me crap. She made me a really cool apron and some like oven mitts.
Ooh.
Like quilted oven mitts.
That's perfect for somebody like you.
That's so nice. Yeah.
But my dad is also like really creative. Like his gardens are like extremely beautiful.
Totally.
And like he has like an incredible eye for it. And he's also like insanely knowledgeable about
you
everything.
You have to be. That stuff is so like science.
Yeah.
Especially by the, I'm guessing he's older than us, so he probably has years.
Yeah, he's older than guys. Yeah, my dad's a couple years older than us.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank God.
He adopted me when he was two. Yeah, oh my God. But that's so
he's
cool.
Like one of the most repressed men I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, where you mentioned this before. Yeah, so that must be kind of challenging to deal with.
Yeah, I just like can't talk to him about anything other than like what he wants to talk about.
That's really,
I've never really
tough.
Had like any emotional connection with him.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know.
My dad's similar. Not like repressed, but it's just like, anytime I ask him about stuff, he's like, why would I talk about that?
Yeah, dude.
You know, like I'm sure he has feelings and like he has, of course he has feelings and he cares a lot, but I'm just like, it's just like not even a vocab, and it just feels so silly. He's like, why would I ever talk about like what my childhood was like? Like, that's so, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, why would I talk about how I feel about you? Obviously, I love you. You know, it's like,
right.
Well, it's
that's
nice
like
to
hear
it.
That's like exactly my dad.
Yeah.
Really?
It's like, yeah, just like won't, like, can't look at anything to like, can't like emotionally analyze anything.
Mm.
Like, and I think he like knows it about himself.
Yeah, it's like it's probably scary for him.
Yeah. Oh, it's absolutely like the most basic, like the most basic, like self analysis, like he can't do. It's crazy. Like being like, I'm depressed today. I wonder why that is. Like, he couldn't have that thought.
Totally. He just like would be depressed. Like grumpy or something.
Yeah, and just like takes it out on you in a way where you're like, okay, clearly
I really
something
wish
is
that
like
everybody
wrong.
Did therapy, because I feel like somebody like that is like, it's just so, it wouldn't be as scary if somebody was holding his hand and helping him kind of like look at a few things, but the repression stops people from doing that.
And I feel like the people who like created their own tools for dealing with stuff like from a young age, so they're like, I don't need therapy, like I'm totally good at handling it all. Like, they're the people who need it the most, because it's like actually having like someone else's input could be so awesome. It's like you've been raising a child alone and like in a basement, and like it's cool to see how other people are doing it, you know, like
totally.
Come out upstairs.
But yeah, I think he just like can't even do that. Like he like just has so many like preconceived notions about like what it's like or like what it means to go to therapy. It's like major like Tony Soprano stuff, but like Tony Soprano did end up going to therapy.
I know.
But there was we even had a conversation recently where like something came up and he was kind of having like a mental breakdown and like being like upfront about stuff for like the first time in his life, and I was like, Dad, you have to go talk to someone. And he goes, I'm 72 years old, what am I gonna do? I can't change.
Yes, you can.
Which is like which is like an incredibly like surprisingly like self-aware thought.
Yeah,
but it's like, of course you can, but he like can't get like past that.
Yeah,
well, I mean, that's the beginning. Like,
and I'm sure,
like,
when he was like 40, he had the same thought.
Oh,
just like,
of course,
it's
he's
over.
Like, I'm
for
40.
Me.
It's over. Yeah,
that's what everybody says. Like, the older, if you are able to keep on growing old, they're always like, that age is young. That age is young.
Yeah.
So much more stuff happens after that. Like, I saw like what's his name? Is it Mandy Patinkin?
Mm-hmm.
His wife on Instagram the other day was just like talking about advice that she would give herself at younger ages, and I think she's around 80 now, and then she'd be like, oh my God, I would tell, you're so young, there's so much life ahead of you, for like age like 40 50 60. And she's like, she's like, all my cool creative stuff didn't happen until after 50. And
that's,
she's like,
so helpful.
And it was like cool to watch her like freak out about it, because she's like, I think it just really meant a lot to her.
That does make me excited. I I always feel that there's like so much potential in life, you know?
Ooh.
That's how,
tell me what you mean. I love
busting
this.
Out.
I just always feel
scene.
Really excited. I'm like, I can always like, there's always like new, I always have new ideas about like stuff to do, or like, I don't know. Like, I was kind of like, a couple years ago, I was kind of like, oh, comedy's like over for me. That's like a dead end now, or whatever. And now it's like I'm back in it, and I feel like so excited about it. And
new lease of life.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. There is so much potential in your life.
Yeah,
you gotta see it. And I've got friends who just, my buddy Steve is like, he's always like so excited about like the smallest thing. Like, he's like, he's like, I just went for the most amazing walk, and it was. Do you ever just go for a walk? Like, literally, like,
it's a good way to
like
look
kind
at
of like kind of stupid stuff like that. But I'm like, yes, dude, this is how you have to view the world.
It's true. Well, you take it for granted until like you injure yourself, and you're like, I would just like to go for a simple walk or whatever.
Yeah.
Or like, it's like when you, if like, if you have the flu really bad and it goes away, if you finally get better and then you feel literally reborn.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. But it's like, it's nice when you can easily connect to joy and inspiration. And sometimes it's hard. But so it is wonderful when you have people in your life that can be like that. I feel like I'm like that to a lot of people. But then also there is like dark clouds that cover all that kind of
excitement course.
Sometimes. But yeah. Still.
I also just like think about like where I was at like 3 or 4 years ago. And I was in just like such a like dark, horrible place in my life. And I like, I mean, like moving here was a huge change. And I like ended a like relationship that I should have ended like 4 years ago. And it just like completely like transformed things where I was like, I never thought I could like be at this place and like feel so good about everything.
Dude, I literally, that's sometimes beautiful. I see like when people move or break up, like yeah. I'm like, oh my God, you like hacked it. Yeah. Like you were in this thing that you couldn't even imagine was making you so miserable. And you couldn't imagine that how young and like exciting your life could be. Like, especially with relationships. I'll see people like who are acting like they are 85 years old.
Yeah. Stuck in something and then they break up. Late for them, right?
Yes. And then they break up and they're like, oh my God, I'm 25.
I know.
You know, it's like, what are you doing? Why have you been dating someone for 10 years or something? I don't know. I think breakups are the best thing in the entire world.
It also just like made me, it was one of those things that made me like really like think about my life for the first, like seriously, like have like a retrospective on my own life where I was like, because I got in that relationship when I was like 20, or like early 20s, 21 or 22. And it ended when I was 30. And so it was it was a good relationship, but it was just like over.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it's like, you're not like constantly taking stock of your life. You know what I mean? You're not like every year, you're not like, oh,
no, but let's think about the past.
But then like that big change where it's like, oh my God, 10 years are gone. Like this decade of my life is over. And it kind of made me like freak out where I was like, the passage of time is real and I'm getting older. But then like as like I got over that thought, it really reinvigorated me, and like I think like just, I don't know, like softened it, definitely like the breakup like softened me and just like made me like think more like about what I really want to do and like be like, all right, like actually act on the stuff that you want
to
do.
I think it's really nice to get to be a little selfish after, yeah, like especially thinking about someone else for so long.
Yeah.
Like I think it's so cool to just be like, whoa, a lot of what I wanted was contingent or like relying on someone else, and like to be like, what do I totally, totally want for myself that no one can get upset with me if I do it? And like if I run away tomorrow, like no one will be, I mean my friends, but you know, like
it's yeah,
being your own person. And like whenever my friends are like serial daters, I'm like, have you ever thought about just like a year where you don't even look at an app? And like maybe you just think about who you are.
I mean, this though, it's like it takes time to get that person out of your vibrational craw. You need a little space and time so that way you can when you stop thinking about them so much, and then you can slowly sort of think about what you want. But it's like, yeah, you need some time and space for yourself. But I think we try to, I don't know, we just try to feel, we're all just trying to cling to feeling good. We're just trying to look for ways to feel good. And so sometimes it can be really like tough to just do your own thing, but if you're able,
it's
scary,
it's freaky,
but it's sometimes it's like, I don't know, there's moments of relief and inspiration when you're like, oh my God, like when, like I'm gotta follow what feels good, and I feel like I really want to do this project, or I feel like, wow, this person offered me this set and that feels so fucking good, like, you know, blah blah blah.
I do have to say, this being said, I did almost immediately get in another relationship.
Yeah, but you and Claire were okay. Already seeing each other.
Yeah, by then
we already knew each other. Right?
I also lived at my parents' house for 6 months, and that was a big
moment
of self-reflection. Well, my mom was going through cancer treatment, so I was like, it was like nice to be there and to like help her out.
That's amazing.
But I was going really crazy by the end of it, because it was also during the winter, and this is like in rural Wisconsin, so there was nothing to do. I had two friends up there.
It's cool that you had friends. Like,
yeah, like these two guys from high school.
Hey, that's
literally
really
the only
cool
people I'm like still really in touch with.
And they live there. What do they do? Are they also performers or artists?
No, my buddy one guy works at his parents' business, and the other guy is like, he's like always, I don't know, he like opened a restaurant for a while and now he's like, and now they closed it and he's like learning to be a hairstylist.
Okay, I love that for him.
He's like always doing like
something different.
He's like always changing paths.
Jack of all trades.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I just find that when you have to, as an adult, going home to your parents' house is a vibe. And I yes, always really dude. Struggle with it. But obviously, it was so amazing that you were able to be there when your mom was going through treatment.
No, it was really nice. And also, you just like, when you're like 30, it's like, you don't spend like 6 months with your parents ever. You know what I mean? You go home, you go home for a weekend.
Yeah, totally.
And so it was like kind of nice to have that time. But
what a nice way to look at it.
Yeah. But also, I don't know. I do like, so I have had to change my mindset about going home where I'm like, all right, I'm not responsible. Like, I always feel like I went home for Christmas and my parents were like, we don't have any way to play music because my mom's Bluetooth speaker died and they don't know where the charger is. And they like seemingly like lost the knowledge of how to use the like stereo. And they didn't have any of the cables or like any CDs or anything.
Yeah, and it was like, come on, guys.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? Like, how do you guys live like this? But then you just gotta take a step back and be like, it's not my life. I'm not responsible for these people. And I was like, how do you guys do this? And they're like, we like it. We like the silence.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was totally. Like, all right, you freaks, fine. I don't live here. Do whatever you want.
That's so funny.
But it's just hard to like come to that conclusion and be like, I'm not responsible for them.
Yeah, right. I'm always trying to inspire my parents to have like different or cooler interests.
I know.
And the way it doesn't take in any way is so absolutely. I'm like, what are your passions? And my dad's like, your mother.
Oh, that's so
that's
cute.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I guess so. But I'm like, all right. Like, so I'm like, cute. Dad, don't you want to get into like, I'm like, you know, how people are into like photography or this or that. He's just like, no, I like to do my thing and do my little items every day. And like, he's like, you know, you say, oh, my parents are like, my mom's an artist. She can do all this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the way my mom knits and stuff like that. Like, but the way she knits the same stuff over and over again, I'm just like, don't you guys want any variety? And they're like, we're good. And I'm like,
yeah, exactly.
What? Like,
yeah. Dude, I mean, I bet we're all going to be like that too.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to have like young creature people habits. being like, you need to get into ping pong. And we're going to be like, and we're gonna be like, no.
Oh my God. I know. I
like sitting.
I know. Oh my God. I know. It's so funny. I think it's just like, I get worried that they will get like bored and depressed because that's how I get. But yeah. Like, but that's not.
I'm no,
not
they them. Just aren't.
Yeah. They're like, this is nice. I'm like, all right.
And I think having kids changes that where you're just like, well, my kid's life is my, is like, that gives me a lot of joy watching them do stuff.
Aww.
You know what I mean? I think
okay,
that's
got a really nice perspective on stuff.
My parents are so stressed about me all the time. I don't
Wait,
think
really?
They're chillaxing. Yeah, they're like, are you going to be okay? I hate that.
Oh.
I wish that I was crushing it harder just so they would be less worried.
I think
they'd get joy.
I think my dad does worry about me, but he doesn't express it.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to express it, so yeah. He's just sort of like... So
he definitely, like, worries about, like, me living in New York. When I told him I was moving to New York...
You were in Chicago before?
I was in Chicago before.
It's like a more dangerous city.
I know. Well, neither... Both of them are safe cities. Like, yeah. Much safer than living in rural Wisconsin, where it's like, if you...
Heroin.
Yeah, if you... Yeah, you can die from opiate addiction, or if you, like, get in an accident or, like, hurt yourself, the... Fucking ambulance is an hour and a half away.
Oh my God.
But no, when I told my dad I was moving to New York, he went, okay.
But he obviously had way more thoughts than that. Yeah. But he didn't say anything.
And I went, how do you feel about that? He went, it's not my life.
Wow.
Oh my God.
I hope that
like the next generations are so much more like, I don't know what'll happen because I feel like now parents care too much and it's like, let your kid like do weird stuff.
I think it's pendulum swingy. Like people were like
totally.
Really distant from their kids at a certain era and then people were like helicopter parents or whatever. And then like, I think everybody has their own style and tries to find their own medium of like, just the push, like letting go, but also holding on. I don't know. I think everybody's just, it depends on where people live too. Like, I mean, if you have a real suburban upbringing or whatever, I don't know. It's like, it's so all over the place. It's so funny how much I don't connect to parents though. Cause a lot of my friends have kids now. And like, it's just like what they, and the way I sort of, I find myself completely zoning out when they talk about certain things. Cause I'm like, I know it's really rude, but a part of me is like, I don't care about your experience with, like, I don't want to hear about these anecdotes or something. Well, yeah, which is just weird. Cause I'm a nice, caring boring. Person.
It's like somebody talking about work.
Or like their dog.
I'm like, oh, I'm like, you turned into like, not to be a bitch, but I'm like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. It's weird. It's like, but it's so real for them and all their friends that have kids. It's real for them how crazy they feel and how exhausted they truly are and how like silly life is. And like, they're seeing, they're like, I understand that they're going through something, but I've chosen not to like have that route in life. So I'm like, listen, I'm just going to go hang out with my 25-year-old friends in New York.
Yeah.
Later.
It's just like a different world.
My friend showed me a short that they made and asked me for notes on it. And I noticed that I had to like watch a few times to get out of my personal reaction, which was, it was all about like stressed out parents. And like, the way I was like pushed it away from caring about it, like, and like immediately in this way where I'm like, I can't relate to this, so it's not for me, was not how I act professionally ever. But it was like a strange reaction, almost like how your dad shuts down. I think I noticed that there. It's interesting how something was there that where I was like, I'm like, oh, so this is about stressed out moms. Yeah, I think you nailed it. Like, I wouldn't know later. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of trivialized it because I don't want to talk about it, I guess. So something's up there. I guess I'm just like, something's up. Maybe I'll bring it up in therapy. But maybe I don't want to talk about it either. Maybe there's other cooler things I want to talk about.
Yeah, repress. I do think this is one of my takes. I do think we need to, some stuff you just need to push down, not talk about it ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't need to.
I think we might be over-therapized
in certain ways.
And also like making a, oh, I gotta sneeze. Sometimes people will like try and,
what happened?
Yeah, I don't know.
Kind of, I wonder where it is in your body right now.
It's over here. Or like just some stuff, it's like, sit on that longer. I don't think you're like,
it's not ready to come out.
Yeah.
And some people also really like to break wrong. Through the misery a ton. And I'm like, no, wait, I already talked about that. I don't want to bring it up again.
It's like my sister. Yeah. I'm like, hey, why does every conversation have to be like the most dramatic, stressful thing I've ever talked about
Hallie
in my life?
Hallie Haas helped me with this. She was like, I remember calling her because I was really upset about something and I needed a friend. And then she wasn't able to talk. She's like, I'll call you later. And then when she called me 8 hours later, she's like, hey, I'm here for you, but if you don't feel like talking about it anymore because you already got hashed into it, that's totally fine. I'm like, that's exactly what happened. Thank you. Like, I actually already kind of went through it, but then I did bring it up again and made me re-upset. Like, that's the thing. It's like, sometimes if you're you can have a bad day where you're super depressed, but if you're feeling good the next day, you kind of got to ride that good feeling for a bit because there's no point in really dredging out the shit and looking at it too tough
and punishing
every
yourself.
Day. Like, I don't know. It's, I want to feel good in the most part in this life.
Yeah.
But there are, yeah.
Is there anything in your life that feels out to lunch?
Yeah.
Here's what's out to lunch.
Yeah,
and this one's controversional.
Go okay. Crazy.
It's dogs.
All right.
It's people bring their dogs to the restaurants.
People having to stop everything before seeing a dog.
And this is something that I think is also in 10, 20 years, there's going to be social scientists who are like, when people are obsessed with dogs, it means the country's declining into fascism or something.
Dude, I agree. And it's because everyone is like realizing they can never have a child. So they're like, I'm just going to have a dog.
Or like,
and so it's like a proxy thing.
And it's like so self-centered, like thinking about that anyone gives a shit about your dog. I'm just like,
when people show me pictures of their dogs, I like wish I could. I wish I had narcolepsy. I'm like,
I'm always getting in trouble at work because people will show their dogs and everyone gathers around and they freak out like they've never seen a dog in their lives before. And I'm just like, all right.
I'm always having to pretend I care about people's dogs.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care. Some dogs are like chill, cool guys, but it's like,
let them be cool.
It's like you see a dog every 2 seconds in your life. It's not like novel anymore.
Also, you're let's all just
let's cut
up
it out
shit.
And I let's ban and let's have fucking dog bans in some places.
I think when I'm eating, if there's a dog next to me and I have to smell it, or it's like touching my foot, and I'm just like, okay, if your dog is touching my foot, let me just touch it while I'm like I just want to pet it like the whole time I'm eating. Like, there can't be an in between where it's like near me and I have to acknowledge it, but I can't like be hanging out with it.
Yeah,
like I think that's so annoying because I'm like, it's nice to just do that. Like, I get that, whatever, but I'm like, I just find it all so overhooming, and it's like an entitlement.
It's an entitelment thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
people bring their dogs to the restaurant where I work, and they've like, this person had their pit bull, and it kept like snapping at me and like grabbing my pants with its mouth. And it's like,
if your dog's like, bad, people don't even care.
Yeah.
Like what are you doing? Don't bring your dog's not supposed to be at the restaurant. You
and
know?
If your dog can't chill around other dogs, if your dog can't don't chill, bring it out.
Yeah.
So many people's dogs have social separation anxiety.
Yeah.
So they can't be, so they're always like whining and crying if you take 1 foot away from them. And a lot of people get dogs as to test out to see if they want kids. Like they fall in love, they move in, and then they get a dog. And then I'm just like, yeah. And then they have a baby, and then the dog is like second fiddle, baby. It's yeah. like so shit. It's so funny.
So anytime I've ever dated someone with a dog, it's like I am second place to the dog.
I say,
and it makes me feel insane. Really? Yes, absolutely. Every man who has a dog, they're like, "This is my baby. If you don't like my dog, like get fucking boned."
Whenever like, I'm online dating, I literally say no to guys who have pictures with them with dogs because I go no because your dog will always be number one. I need to be your number one if we were ever to date. And also, I don't want to pretend I give a shit about your.
Also, the dog always is in the room while you're fucking because like everyone has roommates in New York City and it's just like staring at you.
I bet that happened. This stupid dog is jumping on the bed while you're having sex. You're chilling.
Yeah, and you're like,
oh my god, it's literally been like seven people I've fucked who have dogs. I'm like, every time it's exactly the same. I'm like, this is not like an outlier. All
of you
are like,
you're trying to be comfortable and be all like naked and open, and then like, but then something could dart at you at any moment, and like either lick you or bite you.
There's a creature in there.
Yeah,
and you have to be like. Like, I feel like when you're in bed with someone, like, you want to be, like, totally just, like, caressing them. And then when there's something else, it's, like, a weird threesome. Like, it's just horrible.
Yeah, I didn't ask for this threesome.
I really,
energy.
Really hate it. I hate it so much.
So that's also a really good out to lunch.
Yeah.
Dogs are for once you're done fucking your partner and you're like, let's just,
and
like,
I,
have
and I do like dogs. I like animals and I like dogs. But, you know, we need to put
it's
up
too
some.
Much.
Dogs are toxic and we need to put up some boundaries with them.
Yeah.
And also when someone's like, a dog's my best friend, like,
get
what?
A life get loser. A life.
Why are you friends with a person?
Yeah.
It makes me sad.
I mean, I want to say I appreciate that I think there's a lot of dogs out there, so I appreciate that there's other people out there to care about them. Spike comes to mind, who's a bit of a dog whisperer.
He's amazing.
Being extreme on the pod right now. I want to say that if you are a dog person,
but it's the out to lunch section.
But it's the out to lunch section. So
and the people
no
who treat them like accessories.
What?
And the people who treat them like accessories.
Yeah,
it's really interesting. I mean, I feel like there is something wrong with me for not caring about dogs and babies the way other people do, but it's nice to be around comrades who feel the same way.
And to be totally clear, if you brought a dog in here, I would be like all over that
thing.
Yeah,
me too, of course. But, you know.
Listen, we can all be hypocrites.
I agree.
I got to be totally upfront. I do have a bit about dogs. And I'm not running a bit on you. I just want, if you see me do the bit, I wasn't running a bit on you guys.
Dude, I know what you mean. And I appreciate that.
I always feel like I have to do that because there's nothing worse than having a conversation with someone and then later being like, they were running a fucking bit on
me. I've done that to people in the past.
I don't take it personal.
It does happen sometimes. I mean, like, you
I'm
know,
always happy to be
life
a part
and
of
art
creative.
Are intertwined. It's not your fault. We got to wrap up because I do have therapy and
that's oh, shit. Okay.
But I want to say, Toller Wolf, we love you.
Yeah,
you're
for real.
So funny and cool. And you brought an energy today that really felt so cool and enriching.
And relaxed.
Wow, this is amazing. You guys are great. You guys
thanks
are great podcast hosts.
Yeah, we love doing else? This.
No, it doesn't matter.
We're happy you lived 2 minutes away, and when our water and heat was off for a week, thanks for letting us shower your house.
I was never there.
I know you weren't there, but Claire gave us keys
huge.
And we were both
was the shower.
We were literally in your
it's
shower
amazing.
A bunch.
Pretty nice, huh?
And thank you for the trust. It like changed our lives.
It was really
we
helpful to have neighbors
straight.
You can count on.
Yeah, dude, it is really nice to live so close to someone.
Yeah,
thank
yeah.
you so much. Yeah. And if you ever need anything, like we insist that
if you ever want to come over and use our shower just
legit.
To get back at us, you're welcome to.
You, I only use your toilet. I stop using the toilet at my apartment.
yeah, that's so weird.
We
I
insist.
Love that.
Oh my god, it would be like a relief. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.